It is 16 minutes after 5 o'clock. You're riding home here on a Tuesday program. Tonight, some terrific comedy right up the road at Bear Brew Pub, Main Street in Orono. Bear Brew Comedy Night featuring our next guest, Eddie Brill. And if you'd like to win tickets, phone lines are open at 992-2400, 992-2400 to see a guy who has been making people laugh for more time than he probably like to remember. Eddie, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's good to be back in this area. And, last time I was here, I worked here just down the street at Patty Murphy's, and we had a blast. And I said, let's make a whole week of it. So I've hooked up gigs for each night of the week. And so tonight we start in Orono at the Bear Brew. It'll be great. And then I do the TV show here,
right?
The night show.
I wanted to ask you about that tonight. Your second time on the night show with Danny Cashman. Of course, you worked with David Letterman for many years. How would you compare those two?
Well, David Letterman is retiring because Danny has taken over. It's, he's just knocking the barriers down, and Dave can't compete with him. So Dave's getting out, and he didn't want to leave, but he saw Danny's powerful prowess.
That's no question.
All right.
It's been, we were talking about during the break, the landscape of late night TV is changing so much. Letterman, I think if you list that pantheon of the greats, you get Carson up there.
Yeah, Jack Letterman, Parr, Steve Allen, the people that influenced Johnny Carson, the hero, and then Dave, of course, is who's almost like Johnny's son. Mm. And he's one of the last. He's the last of the broadcasters, and now it's a whole different thing. But there's great guys. Jimmy Kimmel is terrific, and Fallon is terrific, and these are great. And then you got the guys like Jon Stewart and Larry Wilmore over at Comedy Central, who are doing great things. And then you got John Oliver over at HBO. So there's a lot of different things going on. Then you got the Foreigners at 12:30, James Corden, who's hilarious, and that kind of thing. So it's a lot of shakeup. But if it wasn't for Letterman, or if it wasn't for Carson, it wouldn't be Letterman. If it wasn't for Parr, it wouldn't be Carson. That kind of thing. This generation owes Letterman all the the huzzas that are coming his way.
Speaking of Carson, you're the creative director, have been for years, of the Great American Comedy Festival out in Nebraska that honors Johnny Carson. And he, much like Dave, a product of the Midwest who was able to appeal to such a great cross-section of America.
If you notice, in that era, Dick Cavett, who is from Nebraska, and the best talk show hosts, for some reason, are all from that part of the world. Johnny being from Nebraska, originally Iowa, and of course then Dave being from Indianapolis. So it's interesting how that part of the country has I guess it's that sort of middle American humble kind of thinking that I think the three gentlemen I just talked about, Cavett, Carson, and Letterman, all have in common. Letterman's brilliant and hilarious and funny, but he has that very down-to-earth humble part of him that I get to see every day. And of course Carson the same way. And Johnny was responsible for most of comedy having the success, especially stand-up comedy. So to honor him, we go to his hometown, which he loved, and we run a festival every year. We bring the best comics in the world right into his hometown.
We're talking with Eddie Brill tonight. You can see him at the Bear Brew Pub. The Bear Brew Comedy Night starts at 7 o'clock this evening. For many years, you booked comedy guests for David Letterman, and you're involved in so many ways. Actually, as a college student, you helped get comedy writing into the curriculum when you were down at Emerson.
Yes, and we're still working on doing major things at many universities. We also, I've always loved teaching. I've always loved being sort of I guess I'm the caretaker. I'm the guy who grew up and always took care of my brothers and my mom and everybody. And I get a thrill in that. And teaching is, anyone who's ever been a teacher will tell you that you never get paid well, but the...
Well, I'm a high school teacher.
Oh, so there you go.
You're preaching to the choir.
All right, yeah, which is weird. Why would you preach to the choir? They're singing.
I know,
so stop
exactly.
preaching to
stop
them.
Preaching.
Stop preaching. Let them finish their song. That's my theory. And so you know how good it feels to teach. So when I was in school, we helped create this comedy writing department at the college, and myself and Dennis Leary, who was in school with me, we taught, and we was like, oh my God, I'm learning. We were roommates, and we come home, we're like, oh, I'm learning so much more from teaching. So we've created that thing at Emerson, making it better and better, also doing it in the high schools, especially in New York, where we're doing improv in the high school. So there's a lot of these kids that were actual, in prison, didn't have anything to do after school. Now they have this improv thing after school. And we also do working at Harvard, try to put together a program at Harvard as well.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So, I'm just a workaholic, do what I love. So, you know, I can stand-up's my favorite. So that's, you know, if they told me you could only pick one, I'd say, why? No, if they said you only can pick one, I would pick stand-up. But I love all the other stuff as well.
It's been an interesting transition in comedy. You had a boom there in the 80s when comedy clubs were opening up. There was a Yucks on every corner. and now with not only cable television, but especially with the internet, it seems in some ways like there are more opportunities, but I sense that maybe it's also tougher to get yourself seen and break through the crowd.
You know, it's interesting. You have to go with the times. And there were years ago where you had to do stand-up on the corner, and that's how people heard you. And now you can be anyone and be on the internet and be funny or clever or both or creative and all of those things, and you can be seen. You never have to leave your house, and you're seen by, you know, millions and millions of people. So you have to understand that that's part of the landscape and use that to your benefit. But there's nothing like going to a live show and sitting in there and hearing the laughter and being part of the, you know, you're the soundtrack when you're in the audience. You know, that's what pretty much my job was in many years at Letterman, is to create the sort of atmosphere at the show, the warm-up comic, to start the audience going. And I did that for many shows and still do that for many shows. The live experience, there's nothing like it. In our society, people are even not even meeting. They don't get together. They just they don't even talk. They type and they text. And then it's like, what do you mean by that? It's like, well, if you talk to me, you'd understand that I was yelling at you. Not, you know, capital letters is not, you know, it's a changed world. And it's always going to change. And in 20 years from now, we're two guys going to be on the radio going, you know, it was, you know, remember when bears couldn't type? You know, what was that about? And now, you know, you go down to the thing and the bears are typing and they're communicating that way. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You just go with the times.
You're from the Northeast, but you work all over the country. You've traveled around a lot. Are there some things that are funny in certain parts of the country that don't play well in other areas?
I wouldn't say that. I think, you know, if you're a comic, what you want to do is make humans laugh. So it doesn't matter where you go. I've been traveling around the world since 89 as a comic. And there's some differences overseas. Like, there's a lot of pandering that goes on in the United States that I never realized. A lot of, you know, kissing the audience's butt, in a sense. I don't know if I could say the A word, you know, on radio. So I was going to say kiss there, and I said butt, which I never use except on radio. But, you know, you kiss their butt, you know, and want their applause for the most ridiculous. Like, you'll hear a comedian say, hey, give yourselves a round of applause for coming out tonight. And it's like, why would I applaud for myself? I've gone out before. I don't need to applaud it. But that's what we do in the States, and I never realized that. In the States, we're like constantly trumping ourselves up. This next comedian, you might have seen him on the Letterman show. In Europe, they don't care about that. If you're funny, you're funny. You go on stage, you make people laugh. You don't ask them questions. You don't indulge them. It's like, you know, like, hey, how about those old people? They deserve a break and get an audience applauding. And that kind of kissing butt.
Yes. You can say ass.
Okay, all right. You don't know, you know. There's some radio shows you can say anything
it's
you want.
It's AM, so, you know, it's like going under a bridge. Nobody will hear it.
Oh, perfect. So ass. Kissing ass. That happens a lot in the States. And first time I went over to London, I went up to the guy and I gave him my intro, the MC of the show, the compere, as they call it. And he looked at me like, you know, dirtier words than ass. And I said, you know, I don't know why he was so mean. We got to be close. Later on, I said, what was that whole rigmarole when we first met? He says, you were coming up to me and bragging to me about your career. And I said, I wasn't bragging. I was giving you my intro. I was explaining to you what to say. He said, why would you set yourself up for failure by telling the audience how great you are before you come out there? Just go out and be funny. If they laugh, they know you're funny.
Interesting.
So it made me a better comic and made me realize that I need to just do the work and become a better writer and not kiss their ass in the audience just to get in my way.
Eddie Brill tonight at the Bear Brew Pub and Orono Bear Brew Comedy Night starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. You can see him on The Night Show taping out at the beautiful Gracie Theater at Huston. Have you been to the
I haven't
new
been
place?
To it. I've seen photos. Ooh. It looks very nice.
It's very big time.
Last time it was like in the back of some, you know, antique store.
Yes, yeah.
Which was cool. Right, down the street from a sewing circle, which I really enjoyed watching. I was mesmerized. But now it's the big time.
It's great, yeah. And then Friday, you're going to be doing a show down in Portland as well.
Portland, I'm going to teach a workshop down there, which I've been doing for 20 years. You can't teach comedy. You either have it or you don't. But you can workshop it, like actors do and all that. And we're going to do that in Portland. So if there's someone interested in comedy, you can contact me at You can write to me at Eddie Brill at write to me at eddiecomic@aol.com, and I'll it's EDDIECOMIC at AOL. If you're in the Portland area, want to come down? We're doing an 11 a.m. workshop, and it's so much fun. We did it in here in Bangor last year, and many of these people are coming back for a second time because it's a blast. And then at night, we're at some tiny little venue. That's so cool that they told me that. They haven't told me the name yet, but it's like the Church of the Poison Mind or something like that. That's a whole different TV show. I'm doing that on Friday night, and then, you know, so I'm spending the week in Maine. I'm very excited about it.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, also, you were talking about the live audience and seeing live comedy and how great that is.
Yes.
But from the performer's perspective, too, you've done a lot of TV through the years, but is there anything for a performer like the thrill of having that audience right there?
There's nothing like it. There's nothing there. Tonight, you know, at the Bear Brew, it's an intimate venue. It's really nice. And this is the kind of venue I prefer. I mean, I love working 10,000 people at the Shrine Auditorium or, you know, this kind of a thing. I mean, that's a thrill to hear that much laughter. And it's just emotionally phenomenal. But to come to an intimate place and sit there where you don't even probably don't even need a microphone, and you just sit and you chat and you make people laugh, that's really special. That live experience, there's nothing like it in the world.
Absolutely. And before we let you go, we got to talk a little bit of sports here.
Yes.
You were telling me that as a New York guy, you're a Mets fan.
Yeah, well, they won the World Series on my birthday when I was 11, so you have to, you know, I mean, come on. Even if they suck, which they always do, you have to stick with your team. You know, oddly enough, I went to college in Boston, and I was a big Bruins fan, and also worked with Cam Neely and his, you know, foundation to raise money for families with cancer, and it's an incredible organization, Cam Neely Foundation. I've always liked the Bruins, but I've been a Ranger fan since I'm a little kid, and it's very exciting. Who knows? Because the 6th, 7th, and 8th teams are all tied, and the Rangers might play the Bruins in the first round, and it's kind of interesting. I have so many comedian friends that are Bruins fans, and it'll be really fun. It's really exciting to be a Ranger fan at this time, because they've only won once in my lifetime.
Right.
And they went to the finals last year, and they have a pretty damn good team this year.
They sure do.
How about yourself? You're a Bruins?
Yeah, Bruins fan. But, you know, Maine hockey, college hockey,
yes,
has sent a lot of guys onto the pros. So we've sort of got rooting interest in a lot of these places. The Islanders head coach, Jack Capuano, lives here in Bangor now. And Gus Nyquist and Jimmy Howard
Red Wings. Yeah. And I've known the Red Wings for years, the organization. Years and years ago, I was in the Cayman Islands, and I did my show. And after the show, I met these people, and everyone was having some cocktails. And then we're doing karaoke, and I was singing Oh Blah Da with some guy. Turns out he's the announcer for the Red Wings. He brings me to Detroit, and I meet the Red Wings, and I do charity events for him, and I mean, not for him, but for the organization, the church. It's kind of a church. The Children's Hospital. It has a CH word in there, Children's Hospital. And so now I start following the Red Wings around the country. Wherever they're performing, I'm performing. I've set up my shows in the same place. And it was really good. So I in that era of Iserman and Kachuk and Sergei Fedorov, and it was just a great time for me. So huge hockey fan, very excited. There's three more games left for the Rangers. And then April 15th, baby, playoffs.
There you go.
Yes.
Well, we wish your Rangers well.
Thank you. If it's the Bruins, it's going to be very difficult because I love both teams.
Eddie Brill, it's a treat to have you on with us. Thanks so much for coming in. And have a great show tonight, and enjoy your stay in Maine and New England.
I will. Stop the snow. Stop the snow. Bring the sun.
We'll end it for you, I promise.
Thank you very much.
Eddie Brill tonight, 7 o'clock, Bear Brew Pub up in Orono. Go check it out. It's only $10 to get in. Some